Well, good morning. Well, I was refreshed this morning in the songs that we sang. I can testify that my relationship with the Lord Jesus was, it just was refreshed in the songs we sang and the worship that we had. The first song, Tread Softly, in the scripture out of Zechariah says, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." And we sang words of life. Search the scriptures. We sang, "Lift us up from sorrow to joy." In 991 was "Glorious is thy name, and who is like unto thee, Eternal Father." And then we sang about sheep. Oh, we sang "Eternal Father" about that house of clay. And this morning we want to do a Bible study or a sharing time here of, I guess a while ago I talked about worship and back in the Old Testament and the tabernacle, and then we talked about the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We were the temple of the Lord, and under this heading of worship. And I don't know if this is backtracking or not, but I feel like there's a certain part of there that I want to talk about this morning that we didn't really talk about too much. I don't think we did very specifically of what we want to talk about this morning. That house of clay talks about Jesus coming into our heart, into a house of clay. And so I'm not sure what Mike Good is planning to lead out in next Sunday, and I hope I'm not leading a Bible study that he's planning on talking about next Sunday. I didn't talk to him. I'm just kind of filling in until he can start next Sunday. But what I want to talk about is a new and unprecedented worship. But I'm backtracking a little bit because we talked about Christ already being in us in our temple. I'm backtracking to an unprecedented worship of when God became flesh. God came into a house of clay. And so if someone would turn to Isaiah and read for me, if we could have the mic. Isaiah chapter 11. But if someone, sorry, I didn't, wasn't watching. Maybe someone had their arm up. But before we read out of Isaiah, I'd like to go to 1 John. I got ahead of my notes a little bit here. If someone would read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Stephen?
"By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which ye have heard was coming and is now already in the world."
Thank you. And then we can go to Isaiah. I guess my thought there with that scripture was that Jesus, I want to talk about in Matthew and in Luke of when Jesus, what led up to when Jesus came in the flesh, and how there was people that were, they worshipped God because this, if we think about it, we read from Zechariah, and that was, I don't know, some 500 or 600 years before Christ, and then there was a long period of they call it silent years, or there was, I can't imagine living in that time. And there was a few people that were still holding on and knew that there was what we want to read about in Isaiah 11. So did someone have their hand up about Isaiah 11? And this was approximately 700 years before Jesus was born. Matthew. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. Actually, you can read. This is, you can read 1 to 5.
There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist.
Thank you. I know we've talked about this many times, but it just, the truth that Jesus came in the flesh, you know, that's how we know if someone has the Spirit of the Lord, if they testify that Jesus came in the flesh. And so it just causes us to worship our great God that, you know, Jesus was God, but yet, just like it says, Isaiah the prophet said he would come, and Jesus became a substance to begin with, a very small substance in the womb, and that God would, it's amazing. It causes us to worship him. Acts 3, 18 and 19, if someone would care to read that.
But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I was thinking of that, how it talked about the mouth of the prophets and how this would come to pass. All right, now let's go to the New Testament. It was interesting how I was focused on going to the New Testament, and somehow you just can't help but build a platform by what the prophets said. And so I ended up still going back to Isaiah and the precious words that we read there. But in Matthew chapter 1, we're going to talk about what led up to what I believe to this date. This was a new joy that up till now people had not known. There was things happening that never would happen, or that had never happened before and would never happen again. We're going to talk about I guess the thought was, this whole thing has been about worship and true worship, and Joseph and then Mary And then we're going to talk about the wise men in that order. And in Matthew chapter 1, just to show us what Joseph was told. But in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. So this was, actually I should go back to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother, Mary, was a spouse to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Isn't it interesting how the words that are spoken just reverberate the words of the prophets, like the son of David, out of the root of Jesse. The angel says, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine what Joseph would have felt in that hour when he heard those words? This wasn't another man. This wasn't him. This was, and I believe he knew that, but he still would have been battling with the fact that his espoused wife was pregnant. That which is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And then this says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, what joy. What joy would have been he probably didn't understand everything, what was happening. But now all this was done, but he must have really, really believed, and he knew that this was the word of God coming to him in this way. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with flesh. God in flesh. The words of that song kept going through my mind as I was thinking about this morning. O wonder of wonders, how can it be that God was made flesh and was riven for me? The Almighty came down and dwelt among men. O wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We're coming up to a season when people do a lot of things in the name of Christmas. But this is far beyond a yearly Christmas, or what they sometimes write in the cards, Merry Xmas. For whatever reason, I don't know. It isn't about Christmas. This is about the Lord Jesus coming in the flesh. And when we think about this, it is a unprecedented joy in the history of the world to this point. What did Joseph do? He said in verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And that those are wonderful words too, that he did not know Mary. He did not have a physical relationship in the very act until after Jesus was born. And the scripture, or the God makes careful to actually say that in the scriptures. precious. There was no doubt that it was a virgin birth, born of the Holy Ghost. So that was Joseph. What did Mary have to what happened? The word worship, and the word that Mary uses is magnify. Magnify. And just talking about true worship versus pretend worship, or there's a person in here that says he wanted to worship, and that person, I think we all know who that is. He said, "Let me know where this child is, that I may worship him." But he said that with his teeth clenched and his hatred in his heart. But the wise men didn't know until the angel spoke to them. But that was running ahead a little bit. The true worship also shows up in Mary's life in Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. But maybe someone has thoughts up till now. I apologize if I'm not giving the chance for anyone to speak, if there's something that they would like to say, something that stood out up until now. In Luke chapter 1, and we just think about this. I had to think about the joy that we experienced when we had our first son or our first child. And here's Mary. And let's pick up in Luke chapter 1, verse. When Mary went to visit Elizabeth in verse 40. Mary entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Some people say this over and over and over again. Occasionally I've heard it on the radio, where they repeat this over and over again, and it becomes, it's like almost in a monotonous monotone. But this is a very precious thing that happened. Some amazing joy and worship took place. "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as this was Elizabeth, she said, the mother of her Lord." She was full of the Holy Ghost. She said, "the mother of my Lord." She already knew that she was full of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the mother of her Savior was come to her. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then in verse 46 is the key word. "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Can you imagine this? The joy that we experience when we have a child, and Mary had the Son of God in her womb. Can you imagine the joy in her heart? "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Now we want to go back to Matthew chapter 2. And this is actually where I began, was in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 2 was the verse that brought me into this whole study of this unprecedented worship of God in a new and fresh way. Yes, the people worshiped God and God was with them, but now something very amazing was taking place. And there was a select few that actually knew what was happening. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews?' I had to think, why did they go to Herod? Somebody might have thoughts on that. Or did the star actually lead them? Did the star go? They were following the star, right? So maybe I thought of it this morning that maybe the star was actually stopped above Herod's palace because God wanted to do a very specific thing there too. But it's then you think of all the children that died 2 years and under, and the wail that came out of the cry that happened from people losing their children. Lawrence?
It could be that the star went to Jerusalem and then...
That
the star was over Jerusalem, and then the wise men assumed that the child would be born in the royal family or somewhere, so they went to the palace, mm-hmm. and that's just the thought.
Yes, where else would you go to find the king but in the royal palace? Jonathan up the front here.
I'm wondering what I'm missing here. Did he? I don't see where they went to Herod.
Where the wise men went to Herod?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's right. Down then when he had privately called the wise men, so Herod actually called them. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. That's right. When Herod the king, I stopped reading too soon, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So you know how maybe it was a little bit like this, that when we're, in, obviously they didn't have the digital or the satellite GPS, but they had something more amazing than satellite GPS. They had the star. Because as we read on, it says in verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. For we have seen the star in the east," back to verse 2, "and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I guess, yeah, this was... Somehow the word got around all of Jerusalem that there was people here to find a new king. And all of Jerusalem was troubled. Abe Martin.
This might turn most of our assumptions upside down, but did they actually follow the star to Jerusalem? It says they saw the star in the east. and they came to Jerusalem. And then further down it says, they rejoiced when they saw it again. And at that point it led them to the stable.
Mm-hmm.
Did they actually follow it from the east to Jerusalem? I haven't been able to dig up any scripture to back it up, but there is a thought that the teaching about this star that would signify a king was given to these countries in the east sometime during the Babylonian captivity. Some of that teaching was left with the eastern kingdoms, and some of these wise men were watching for this indicator star. And when they saw it, they headed for Jerusalem because that was the center of where it was going to be. Now, some of that is speculation, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate that. Anyone else? We don't want to get off track on the star because, I mean, what are we worshiping? Who are we worshiping? Are we worshiping a star? They didn't worship the star. They were just very joyful. They were very joyful that the star actually... They wanted to worship God, or they wanted to worship the new king. They knew there was something very, very unique and wonderful happening here. They wanted to get to this new king. That's what their goal was, to come and worship the Son of God. So when the star showed them the way, they were very happy. And they weren't going through the town, or maybe they were going through asking, where can we find this king? Maybe, yeah, they probably were. That's how the word got around. But they were, this was something unique and wonderful, much more than when we get lost in a place and but we know how it is when we desperately want to find something, time is running out and we have to get there and we're late. They didn't want to miss the king. And you can see why they were so joyful. But King Herod, he says in verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And then they brought their gifts. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. They knew it. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. We know some of the culture was to make obeisance and fall down with your head between your knees and worship. In this case, it was real and proper and good. But many times, people would do that to a person. But this was real and precious because it was the Son of God. And worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Yes, God was. And the other thing is the rejoicing of the shepherds and how they when they saw what the angels told them, they also rejoiced, and the words that the angels said when they proclaimed the birth was also something unprecedented, something truly amazing. And so now I want to just talk about true worship versus what Satan tries to bring in. What Satan tries to bring in. He tries to, God is an all or nothing type of God. It's either all or nothing. Satan says, just give me a little bit of this, or worship me a little bit here. Try this little bit. But God is, He wants our all. Doesn't that make you glad? To know that we serve a God like that? That His glory, doesn't that make you happy to know that we serve a God that is an all out God? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Satan, when he asked Jesus to worship him, in Matthew 4, verse 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Does God say worship, or does God say, if you worship me, I will do this? I didn't look for scriptures that would talk like that, but I just, Satan says, if you will worship me, I will give you this. To feed the flesh. But does God ever say, if you worship me? It seems to me like it's so much more far and above anything that is of the flesh. Is it worship if we do it to get something, and we do get something out of it? Please don't misunderstand me, but true worship, it isn't that we would get something out of our for ourselves, right? Mary said, I magnify the Lord. Any thoughts on that? George?
I was just thinking of that the scriptures tell us that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and that's, I think, deeper than just what you were saying there, of just worshiping a little bit. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is we're giving everything to God. Mm-hmm. It's more than just a little worship time somewhere.
Amen. Clarence?
John 4:23, it says, Jesus' words are, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." I was just thinking here this morning when you were talking about worship. The many autobiographies that are available to read of saints of old that endured very, very harsh, severe trials in their lives. I believe it's written in the book of Acts about Peter and another one with him. I can't think of his name. I didn't look up their scripture reference. When they were in prison and in the middle of the night when they were praying and praising God, that the angel come and release them there. Their sense of worship to God was not controlled or brought on by that feel-good, everything's correct, the Rose Garden kind of experience around about mm-hmm. them. It was a condition of the heart and their relationship to God that brought worship, and the outward surroundings really did not dictate mm-hmm. to either enhance or take away that spirit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let's close with a scripture from Revelations. There's so much in this book. But this also is people tend to get their minds off of worshiping the true God. Even John did, and the angel had to tell him. The angel had to tell John. And I, John, this is Revelation 22, and we'll just close with this. Revelation 22, 8 to 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which had shown me all these things. Then the angel says unto John, "Stop," or "Don't do that. See thou, do it not," the King James says, "for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." And then he says two words, "Worship God."